The theme for today's teaching is Glory Report or Consequences of Glory. Anyone you like. Glory has consequences. But before then, I just want to give some I want to encourage those who just had babies, you have children. Please, I want to, especially the men, I want to encourage you to be more involved. You see, I personally feel like after we have done marriage counseling and we married, and I feel like when a woman is pregnant, there should be another counseling. Because many of us only prepare for the marriage stuff. But usually when a woman is pregnant and she gives birth, the dynamics of that home changes completely. And many of us are shocked at that change. And I really feel, and I'm going to work towards it. I really feel we need to have another counseling session for couples when the woman gets pregnant. Because sometimes that is where a lot of crisis in homes, the seed starts there. You see, because the woman does not understand, the man does not understand at all what the woman is going through and cannot meet the need of the woman because there's no understanding. And many times, because the man lacks understanding, he's looking wicked and terrible. And the woman begins to be shocked at the kind of man she married. And many times the man is wondering, is this girl so inconsiderate? You know? And so we don't really appreciate what women go through during, you know, and I can tell you this firsthand. You know, one of the points of disaster points of my life personally, and you know, as a man, was when we had our first child. You know, and I look back and I see how completely irresponsible I was. Yeah. You know, and I was justified, you know, I justified my irresponsibility, you know. And I still feel, you know, now after Maverick, as I grow and mature, and I began to understand and do things better, and sometimes I just wish I did the first child better also, you know, but you see, the boy can't be a baby again, you know. Maybe I should just have more children and just, you know. That looks like a great idea, isn't it? So that I can cover up for the failures of it looks like a great. I felt the presence when I said that. It's the Lord. It's not about you. It's the Lord. You know, and you see, because sometimes you want to retain your routine as a man, but you see, when your wife gets pregnant and when you can't retain your routine, you see, and tiredness is real, but a lot of tiredness is in the mind. Tiredness is real, but a lot of tiredness is in the mind. You can do better. You can. Sometimes you would have to not sleep till 3 a.m. And it looks impossible, but imagine if it was impossible for your wife too. Would the baby die? The reason why you think it's impossible is because there's somebody that is doing it. And so we have to wake up to that responsibility. You know, one of the most beautiful sights is the sight of seeing a man caring for a baby. It's a holy sight. It's very godly. And it's not a skill you bring from heaven. Don't say, this is not who I am. Listen, nobody is like that. You understand? It is a necessity. And it's compulsory. And so you force yourself to do it. And then you do it even though you are tired. And it is in that phase that you can assure your wife of love. In that phase, because you see, she's going through sometimes the greatest level of stress she would never go through in life. And if she goes through that stress without your definite presence, you have sown a bad seed of who you really are. You have lied to her. You have told her you are a terrible person. And that's what the heart has stored. Because she was in her most stressed moment and you didn't appear. So in a woman's most stressed moment, your appearance should be huge. You have to be present. You understand? And the more she's stressed and the more detached you are, the emotion towards you is not good. Whether she sees it or not, the soul is not blessing you. You understand? Even if they give you food, you should bless it. They say, bless this for all of for Christ's sake. You have to be there. You have to be there. You have to let your wife know that I want to be there and I'm going to be there and I'm there. And if you do that, you sow a seed that lasts forever. And you see, it's easy to sow a seed, it's difficult to uproot it. Whether good or bad seed, it's difficult to uproot it. So make the best of the opportunities you have to. Am I boring you already?
No.
All right. Glory be to God. So that's the first thing I plan to talk to you about. It was in the, whilst I was coming, I felt God will have me say this. This is not the preaching. This is just, by the way, for those who are married, who are about to marry, those who are already toasting somebody, just know that this is work. Amen. Praise God. You see, when a baby comes, sometimes you wish you didn't have the baby. You won't say it out. You just say, "Ooh, who sent me like this?" Because sometimes they want the kind of attention that you don't have the strength to give. I'm telling you, it can edict you. Are you with me, friend? You see? But we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And praise God. And when you sow that seed of love at that particular time, the harvest is crazy. Praise God. What did God say that husbands should do? Love their wives. Because he knows that when you love your wife, you'll get the best of her. You know, and you know, love is an action word. And so you have to love by waking up in the midnight. You have to love by learning how to take care of the baby and having her go sleep. Are you together with me? Now, you won't do it all the time, but you do it a lot of times. Are you with me? Don't think dropping money is your greatest responsibility. That's the reason your father and your mother didn't work. Because your daddy thought if he pays school fees, he has done everything. Anybody can pay school fees. It's scholarship board. They are paying school fees. You know, there are people paying people school fees who don't know the people they are paying their school fees. Yeah. So you have to be there. You know what I told when we had Maverick? You know what I told my wife? I said, don't worry. You just handle him like this. When he's 3 years old or 2 years old, I will join you. It made a lot of sense to me. I said, Joe, when he's I promise you. And sometimes when the boy is crying, I'm like, can't you hear? Both of you, can't you just leave the room? You know? And then, what if the boy never makes the 3 years old? What I'm saying is it by magic you will make it 3 years old? You have to be there. Are you with me? And so please, if you are not doing your best, repent and do your best. And you can argue also that's also another option. Alright, so let's go to what's the second one? Alright, let's go to the consequences of glory. We're gonna look at consequences of glory. When the Bible talks about Christ in us, is the what is the hope of glory? We have been called to a life of glory. Are you with me? We have been called to a life of glory. You carry the glory of God inside you. And the glory of God is the person of God, the weight of God. Are you together with me? And that's what you carry. And that's what you should manifest. Now, there are implications of carrying the glory. When you carry the glory, it has implications. No way. Amen. It has implications. When you carry the glory, there are things that will happen to you. And I would mention three for today. Glory be to God. There are three things that will happen to you when you carry the glory. And those are the three things that you need to be aware of and to build on. Are you together with me? Now, you are not called to live an ordinary life. You are called to live a super life. Glory be to God. Can you say, I'm called to live a super life? You're called to live a super life. Your life is not ordinary. Your life cannot be predicted by natural parameters. You know, the natural instruments cannot accurately predict your life. Your life is going on a trajectory, and that trajectory is beyond human comprehension. Are you together with me? The Bible talks about a spiritual man that judges all things, but he himself, you see, cannot be judged. Are you together with me? Meaning that you can't understand him. You can't predict him. You can't tell his future. Are you with me, friends? You can't tell his future. The spiritual man, you can't tell the future of the spiritual man. You can't use natural parameters to tell the future of a spiritual man. Are you together with me? People who don't look like it become things that you never imagined. Are you together with me? You see, because we have access to powers that are beyond this realm. And we had a purpose before we got a body. Are you together with me? You had a what? A purpose before what? Before you got the body. The body is not your starting point. The body was bought as a tool. It was purchased as a tool for the execution of purpose. Are you together with me? So, purpose describes you more than your body. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, when a man lacks understanding, he judges men based on their body. But you see, the body was bought or was purchased. And that's why this body will go it will give way, because this is not even the original body. You have another body, which is you. This one is not you. Are you together with me? The original body is being kept for you. Are you together with me? And that at the blast of the trump, are you together with me? When Jesus comes, he's going to give you another body. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, even if you haven't died before he comes, in the twinkle of an eye, the Bible says we shall be changed. This body will be changed. This body is Raz. And is Raz, is local, is for this fallen place. We are using it to do business here. Are you with me? So this is not you. You understand. Now, I don't say spoil it with cream, but this is this is not you. But you see, are you with me, friends? Even though this is not you, God still has ownership of this. And he doesn't want you to mismanage this until he comes, because he has decided to make this your temple. So even this one is your temple. Are you with me? On earth, but in heaven it will be changed. And that's why there is a doctrine called the laying on of hands. If germs can go through your hands, then glory can also go through your hands. There is a doctrine called what? The laying on of hands. You can transfer spiritual things with your hands. It's a ministry. And that's why you need to know that. And you need to acknowledge that. And you need to lay hands. Amen. You lay hands on your body. When you feel something contrary to what you want, don't say you have died. Don't stop talking carnal. Stop saying I'm gone. You can lay hands and say, in the name of Jesus, let there be life. And then you watch things turn around. Am I correct?
Yeah.
You see, but the purpose of God for you is first before your body. And so this is not indifriki. This, if you think this is indifriki, you are deceiving yourself. This is the body indifriki is using. You get the point now? This is his body. And a lot of people, when they want to make marital decisions, they marry bodies. They are unwise. Sit down. They are unwise. A lot of you have married tall dwarfs. You see, because you look at his body, you think he's tall, but he doesn't have a sense of purpose. He's short. So you married a tall dwarf. You understand? And you can as well marry a short giant. You can marry what? A short giant. You know, no matter how short a man is, if he's anointed, you will kneel down for him to lay hands on you. We won't need to get a chair for the anointed. Your height is your problem. If you want his anointing, you bend. Are you with me? And the challenges of life have no respect for the body. The demons that will attack your children have no respect for your handsome husband. You get the point now. Those demons are not going to check whether your husband is handsome or not. They don't know his complexion, whether he's fair or dark. Those demons do not respect those things. And so they will as well enter your house, take your children, and your husband will look at them. And they will say, if you say pimp, and they will tell them, you can go, because it's by mercy you have not taken me myself. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so the purpose comes before your body. Amen.
Amen.
Are you together with me, friends?
Yes,
and so you have to understand that. And that's why your life is kept in the glory of God. Now, the challenge is that many people's heart do not have engagement with this glory I'm talking about. Are you with me? This is the source of depression. The source of depression is because you are not in touch with your true self. If you saw your true self, you won't be depressed. Are you together with me? There are things about myself that I can't say publicly. There are things I will tell you about myself, you will think I'm being arrogant. I can't even say it. You see, and the reason why I have peace and why I'm not in a rush is because of what I have seen. Are you together with me? When you are greedy, it's because you lack sight. You see, because you don't know what has been provided for you, and you think what you presently see is everything. And so you are trying to preserve your future. That's why you are greedy. When you have seen it, you are not greedy. Lot thought he had armored, and he thought Abraham did not have sense. Abraham told him, pick anyone. The guy picked the land that was green. And whilst he was going with his guys, he was saying, Dava, you don't get this. I tell you that, you don't get this. And then God came, after Lot had gone, God came to Abraham in the night and said, lift up your eyes. As far as your eyes can see, give you as an inheritance. Show them the stars. So you fear the man that God visits in the night.
Yes.
He's more powerful than the man that is carnal in his mind. I want to know. I don't care what you have in your hands. I want to find out, what did God show you in the night?
Wow.
Yeah. When my daughter is about to get married, when I'm talking to the boy, what I would find out is, what did God show him in the night? That's what I want to find out. He will dress well. He will know I don't care. I want to find out what did God tell him in the night. Does he have night moments? Does he have dreams put in his heart by God? Or is he trying to survive? If he's trying to survive, I will send my angel to help me scatter it and chase him far, 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 far. Take him to Abyss, just take him to lake or anywhere. Just, I say, what's in his heart? You know, Dennis, I want to know what's in your heart. I want to know what's in your heart, not what you just imagined, but what did Jehovah put in your heart? You get the point. That is when you start living, when you know what he's put in your heart. And then you are racing towards what's in your heart. You see, you shouldn't race with men. You should race with your purpose. You don't run with men because you don't have age mates. Because you were not created in years. You were created in purpose. You understand here? Yeah? You were brought into time. But when you were made, you were not made as 25 years old or 70. You were made in purpose. So you were now brought into time. So it is foolishness to race with men and say, how old is he? How old am I? What does he have? What do I have? You are now racing with men. You are a monkey. Are you with me? You find purpose and race with purpose. So purpose becomes the basis for decision making. Are you with me? Purpose become the basis for what? For decision making. So you see, and that way, when people say you have succeeded, you know you have not. A lot of people celebrate early. You see, because they don't know the purpose. And that's the scripture you were talking about, when that guy saw that his barn was full. And he says, it's time to rest. He said, you are a fool. Yeah. God said, you are a fool. Tonight, I require your soul. Heart attack that night. Everybody thought it was heart attack that killed that guy. It was God that stopped his heart from flowing and said, come up. To take him out of the earth. Because you are off script. What we have for you is more than yam. The guy looked at his yam bar and said, it's full and yam exciting. He said, there's no why in your destiny. Why as is... Yeah. Now people go off track. Some people can follow a boy off track. Just one boy. Off destiny, off script. God will have to do arrangements for rearrange everything. Off script. Just one boy. Off script. For some people, it's one visa. Off script. You just go to where your angel can never reach. Because in the destiny of that angel, that location you are in, God told him you will never go there till Jesus returns. Your angel cannot reach you. And that's why you must move and prioritize divine feeling. Don't be excited to stay where your spirit is not conducive for your spirit. You see, the condition of your spirit should be the condition you prioritize. If under the chair you find out your spirit is prospering under the chair, that's the most valuable place you must be. Don't go to a mansion. Don't prioritize your body above your spirit. Don't marry someone because the person can solve your body problems. Because that's not even true. See? Because every problem must be solved from the spirit. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So that is the engine that should solve all problems. When you cut off that main engine and you are solving that problem, it's like solving the eczema that is in your blood with a cream on your face. The real eczema is inside your blood. You need surgery. Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
So your life is encoded in the glory of God, and this is not a deep thing, it's inside you. I wish you could tell somebody it's inside you.
Inside you.
You see, the day you understand this thing, one of the things you will tell me when you visit me is that you say, Pastor Zach, I get it, life is cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will tell me. Anybody who understands what I'm preaching will come back and tell me life is cheap. That is one of the things you must tell me. That life is cheap. And when I'm saying life is cheap, I don't mean that you are not going through pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But your life is cheap. There is nothing here. There is nothing here. I tell you, there is nothing here. There is nothing here. So, three things. The first thing that glory brings is glory births conviction. Those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's the mother scripture of this teaching. Somebody say, those that know their God. Say it. Shout it. Say, those that know their God. For the last time, say, those that know their God. Another place, Paul said, for we know. That's conviction. Conviction. Are you with me? Conviction. 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 You see, prioritize conviction before desire. Conviction. Conviction. You must get a conviction. You must get a conviction. And convictions are birthed in his presence. Are you with me? You see, you can't boast of life when you are absent from God's presence. Yeah, conviction. You need conviction. It comes through prayers. It comes through fellowship. And it takes a long time. It builds, it grows. You need to get conviction from God's presence. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
As an individual, you get conviction. As a family, you get conviction. God must speak to your soul. Now, it doesn't have to come through a vision. Are you with me? It doesn't have to come through a vision. But God speaks to your soul. You become definitely aware of who you are in Christ Jesus. And what you are meant to execute on earth. Are you together with me? You see, can I talk to you here? You see, because conviction is the bank where the power of God flows from. Conviction is the bank where the power of God flows from. You are going to receive power in places where you have conviction. There is power in conviction. That's where power flows from. It says, we know. Those that know their God, what happens to them? Though they shall be strong. And do experts. We will get there. But you need conviction. Now, Now, when you get convictions, convictions helps you to deal with all your limitations of the flesh. Let me tell you why you need to deal with that. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
because limitations of the flesh can tell a lie. There is a way limitations of the flesh can cast a vision for you. You will plan and end it where your flesh is limited. And so your destiny is inspired by your weakness. Yeah. Limitations of the flesh. It can be limitations of the poverty in your father's house. You think your limitation becomes your limit, where you know life. But conviction, makes ridicule of your limitations. Are you together with me? Are you together with me? By the time Jeremiah got his conviction, the Lord told him, he says, don't say I am a youth. Don't say. So it means that being a youth had given him a limitation.
Yeah.
Are you with me? But when the glory of God came upon him, then he says, don't say I'm a youth. You see, when the conviction hits you, conviction can tell you, don't say you are from Africa.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Don't say you are a girl. Yeah. Don't say you are just the last born.
Yeah.
Don't say you are a teenager. When conviction hits you, it makes ridicule of your limitations. Don't say that you have health condition, health crisis. Don't say. Conviction shuts down your limitation.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you don't have a conviction, you would only make plans that do not offend your limitations. And that's why a lot of you are not offensive to your natural life.
Yeah.
You are meant to be offensive to your natural life. You must lead a life that offends your natural life. Are you together with me? You must lead a life that offends. You must lead a life that offends your gender.
Yeah.
Are you together with me?
So,
offends what?
Your gender.
You know Deborah's life offended her gender.
Yes.
Yeah, she's part of the judges of Israel. Yes, sir. And they got it called judgeress. Are you with me? Are you with me? No judgeress. Deborah, judge? Yes. You mean Deborah? Yes, judge, yes. But judges are men. No, this Deborah is a judge. Are you together? This particular Deborah is a judge. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? This particular Nazareth guy, something good is coming out of him. This particular one. Are you with me? That's what conviction does. It delivers you from the limit. You need a conviction. Are you with me?
Yes.
I said, are you with me?
Yes,
sir. See, when you don't have a conviction, you live a life of limitation, and then you also limit people. Because limited people will always limit people. Are you together with me? So you need conviction. You need conviction. Let me tell you the kind of things that God does. They have just one name. The kind of things that God does are impossible things. And so when you are not willing to ask for the impossible, you are not yet walking with God. You see? But your limitations will only have you ask for possible things. But you see, from today, by conviction, you will ask for the impossible. I believe that there are people in this house today that something has come upon you today and you are willing to ask for the impossible. I'm called, I have a calling to speak to those who are willing to ask for the impossible. Who can hear what normal people cannot hear and who can ask for it. Our brother David will always ask God for the nations. And those are the people I'm speaking to here. Not people asking for what can be. Not people asking for what their certificate can give to them. But people asking for the things that only God can execute. Are there such people in the house? Can I hear their sound of amen? You can have your seat. That's conviction does. Conviction does. So it means that I begin to plan my life in the area of my convictions. Are you together with me? I plan my life in the areas of my conviction. You see, my conviction is my inspiration. My conviction is my inspiration. My conviction is my guide. My conviction guides me. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I feel the presence of God in this house right now. My conviction is my guardian. It guides me. My limitation doesn't guide me. My lack doesn't guide me. It is my conviction that guides me. Are you together with me? And friends, listen. There are the things that appear are not the only things that exist. Am I preaching here? The things that appear are not the only things that exist. Existence is not only on the basis of appearance. There are things that exist, that appear, that exist. And there are things that don't appear, that exist. And let me take it further. The ones that don't appear are the ones that produce the ones that appear. Are you together with me? Because by faith we know that this visible world was brought forth by the invisible one. Are you together with me? For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen. Are you together with me? So the things that you can't see are more real than the things that you can see. And friend, you have already seen your limitation. It's now for you to see the glory of God. Oh my goodness, am I talking to you? I said you have seen your limitation. You have seen lack already. A lot of you have seen poverty already. Have you too seen poverty? Have you not seen sickness already? You have seen your gender already. You have seen a lot of crazy things already. But it's about time to see the glory of God. I said it's now time to see the glory of God. It's time. And your eyes shall see the glory. The glory will produce for you. I said the glory will produce for you. I said your life will now produce in the order of God's glory. The glory will produce for you. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered into the hearts of men, those are the things that God will begin to do on your behalf. In the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, your life will bring the kind of produce that when men will see it, they will have no choice but to say, glory be to God. Your life will count for glory for God. If I'm talking to you, shout aloud, amen. Have your seat in God's presence. Conviction. Can I tell you what God told me to tell you? Can I tell you? Listen, that was why God was never in a hurry to change the limiting stories. God did not see a need to not to have you be born in a poor family. There was no need for it. Whether you were born in a poor family or not, is God did not see a need, because he knows that the things that pertain to glory, they are more real, and you have access to them regardless of your limitation. So don't say, God, why me? Why me what? He has provided glory for you. And so all these things are completely irrelevant. Are you together with me? Yes, you see, any disadvantage you think you have is a lie you have chosen to accept. Yes. Are we together, friends? Yes, can you say conviction?
Conviction.
You need to get conviction. Get your convictions. And that you get that conviction in intimacy. Intimacy. In the place of prayers. Prayers. You just pray. Prayer is not laziness.
Yes, sir.
It's the greatest work you would ever do. Wow. Prayer. It has more value than anything. You see, any life that is not making you pray, find a way to leave it. Are you together with me? Satan can give you anything to get you to stop praying. He can answer a prayer yourself so that you don't pray about it again. Sorry. That's confusing. He was willing to answer Jesus' prayers. I said, I'll give you everything. Just bow to me. Jesus says, no, I'm bowing only to what? No, bow, prayer. I'm praying only to God. Only to God. Satan is willing to give you anything to get you to stop praying. Because it is in prayer you get the power that can deal with him. Do you know there's nobody that can use money to deal with Satan? Now, tell me the things you can use to do with Satan. Money? No. Fame? No. There's nothing you can do with Satan. But when you carry the presence of God, he's finished.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen. Where I am today as a servant of God, it was the presence of God that brought me here. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Everything did not look like it. Praise God. And that's why when people are respecting me, I'm shocked. You understand? Because I'm sure I don't deserve respect. You see, But it's in prayer. I give birth to myself again in prayer. Prayer, intimacy. When I'm talking prayer, I'm not talking about the prayer of... I'm not talking of noise. I'm not talking of trying to feel like you are spiritual. That's not what I'm not in that game. I'm talking about exchange. Dropping your old self and receiving from him. Right in his presence. Oh my goodness. That's where you get it. Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
Can you say prayers?
Prayers.
Can you say intimacy?
Intimacy.
Say intimacy.
Intimacy.
Intimacy. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
So you need to lead a life of conviction. You see, prayer has given me what intimacy with Jesus and conviction has given me what my father could never give me.
Yes, sir.
Or my mother could never give me. And guess what? It will give you the same.
Yes.
You see, for me, it was good because I didn't have option. I didn't have option. There was no fake glory that I could get from my father. Some of you have fake glory that your father can give you and you can still look glorious. Me, I didn't have any. My father did not have any glory anywhere. My mother did not have. In fact, the glory they are waiting for is my own. They are waiting for their children's glory that perhaps. Just get my point now. You see? But you see, you are not disadvantaged.
Yes, sir.
Listen, if you can talk to God, you are not disadvantaged.
Yes, sir.
Can we move further?
Yes, sir.
So those that know their God. So it means that the most important race you will run in this life is the race to know God. You have to know God. The knowledge of God is the leveler of humanity. That is where we all meet as one. The second thing that glory does is that glory causes you to repent. Somebody say repentance.
Repentance.
Shout repentance.
Repentance.
The glory brings repentance. Anybody who is not repenting is not living in the glory.
Yeah.
You see? Because when you see the glory, you bow.
Yeah.
And that bow is repentance. Well, you are saying, I'm not like this.
Yes.
The glory makes you to drop what doesn't look like it. Repentance. Somebody shout repentance.
Repentance.
Repentance. Repentance. And you see, because you cannot receive from God until you have dropped who you are. Before you can receive God, you have to drop who you are. Now, there are different, this repentance is a big topic, but I will just quickly explain it. There are different levels, there are different stages to repentance. The first stage is acknowledgement of sin. Amen. Acknowledgement of wrong. When God confronts you, don't argue. Now, why do you want to argue? What's your plan to argue? What's the profit of arguing with God? Please, can you tell me too? Who wants to tell me the profit of... What's the profit? Now, can you impress this God? If Dangote tells you are poor, will you say you are not that poor? If Dangote tells you, I say, man, you are poor. I've never had a doubt of this poverty, sir. This poverty has worried me all my life. How do you say, no, I'm not poor. I just got a job that paid me 200,000. I said, where are you working? He said, I'm working with a PHB. And then Gote will come and meet your CEO. I tell your CEO, why are you this poor? Then you will now see your CEO and say, Dangote, I've always known. Then you will now know that if your CEO can submit to poverty, then who are you? You get it, boy? If Warren Buffett calls you poor, is it an insult? Are you together? We are so strange people. When God confronts you, why are you arguing? Do you want the whole one of his name is holy? And angels who are holy call him holy. for eternity. Then what were you expecting, that he visits you and says, oh, when he visits you, you will see that you are not holy. And he just wants you to drop your agree, drop it, and he will give you his own. You see, you don't get holy through argument. They don't use agiri to any holiness God did not give you, you don't have it. You don't work hard to be holy. Are you together with me? So acknowledgement of sin. You have to acknowledge your sin. Stop defending yourself. It is one of the diseases of the fallen man. He made that man fail. What did he go and do? Defense. All true. You don't have the glory. You are plucking mango tree to cover yourself. How do they relate? You lost the glory. You went to pluck tree, leaf of tree, to cover yourself. Until that day, we are still covering ourselves. Yes, till now. Are you with me? And there are different ways we cover ourselves. Two things prompt our covering: fear and pride. You are too afraid to appear naked, and you are too proud to appear naked. Everybody, most people are always in those two things. The fearful one has an excuse for his nakedness. An empathetic excuse. I don't know if that's correct. But an excuse that will make you feel for him. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Empathy, right?
Yes.
Say, oh. Are you with me? Empathy. Empathy is a fake covering. And it's false humility. You have to acknowledge your sin. After you have acknowledged your sin, you have to take responsibility of your sin. That's where I'm talking about. Fear and pride does not make us take responsibility. It was fear that made Adam cover himself. It was pride that made him say, "Is the woman that you gave me?" You see, and when you are flowing in pride, you will be so foolish to the realms of God. So what God can see clearly, you say, is the woman. And it's not the woman at all. Is actually the man. There was the woman that lives later. You know, when you read the story of Genesis, you think it's the woman that ate and I gave Adam. That's Genesis. Later in the New Testament, it told us that the woman was deceived. It says Adam was not deceived. So it means Adam had already done, finished the old temptation. He's just waiting for that girl. Every day, he's just looking at her as a day, a day. When will this girl, Satan, let me deceive her. So you think they were deceiving, Satan was deceiving his woman, and his own case was not concluded, and he allowed the conversation to continue. He was beside her now. Yeah. If he didn't want it, why didn't he stop it? Were they robots? They were real people.
Yeah.
Why is he stop that? Yeah, let's go. He didn't say anything. The woman too now did that, see, she's the one that gave him. He said, I should eat. I should eat. Okay, if you insist, I will eat. He said, it's the woman that you gave you. You see, anyone who has an excuse has not repented. Anyone that has an excuse has not what? Has not repented. Praise God. Anyone that has what? An excuse has not what? Has not repented. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And that is one thing we need to understand in our generation. Because one of the things they are using to hold us as a tool is these excuses. Especially the one that will stir up emotions. Are you with me? Have you seen people confessing their sin online? Sin that he committed on site. will go and repent online. Where did he commit the sin? On site. He will repent where? Online. And when he wants to repent, check it. It's the repentance that will attract sympathy. Yeah. That's why. How can you sin against God? And you are, when you want to repent, is online. Does God have an account? Now, it's the people that have account. They know people who have account. So they want to take this, the sympathy of the people that have Facebook account. So they sin on site. Repent online. Amen. I saw one against one of our man of God recently. They said that one lady died in a man's church. They said something happened. I was now wondering, is this the man that killed the... I read the whole story. The man did not kill the lady. I mean, if I read that story, the man did not kill. Actually, I was looking, what did this man do? Who is this man? Yeah. A man did not kill the person. Are you together with me? Say repentance.
Repentance.
Why must we repent? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So it means that anytime you have an opportunity to repent, it's because the kingdom is close. It's time to exchange. So repentance is an opportunity to receive. It says repent. There's a reason. It says repent for. The reason you are repenting is that the kingdom of God is at hand. Not, it doesn't mean, it's talking about heaven. It's talking about the reign of, you're about to step into a realm of God. Are you together with me? So acknowledge and drop it. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. One of the craziest encounters I've had in my life, I've shared it with you guys severally, about one of us that God showed me, you know, in a vision. And God told me what the person was doing. And God told me, get this person to repent. He said, I need this person to repent. You know, I'm talking of, it's not dreamer. I'm not talking of dream. I'm talking of real encounter. I was not hearing God's voice in a dream. Or neither on my bed in the parlor. Was about losing my life. I said, who wants to kill me? I was going, losing my life. I used my last strength to step into the room. I tapped my wife. I was begging her to pray for me. She said, Father, I thank you. I said, don't thank him. I saw my life going like this. I said, don't thank him. I said, don't thank him. Don't thank him. Call me back. Don't thank him. She now laid hands on me. That's why I don't marry monkey. Don't marry monkey. I'm telling you, don't marry monkey. Don't marry monkey. She lay hands on me. That's how I would have died. I said, and this, in the script, we planned that your wife would pray for you. I said, but she didn't pray. Say, Lord, watch out, come here. Oh, to join a cloud of witnesses. Lord, watch out. Why will you? Why will Lord? Pastor, we might continue. I will feel, Lord. She was a father. I said, don't thank him. Don't thank him. And if she kept on thanking him, that's how you didn't bear that service on me. I said, rebuke. So she rebuked the spirit of death. And suddenly my life came back to me. My life came back to you immediately. Boom. I was just seeing the realm of the spirit. I was alive like this. The person's picture came down. And I heard the voice of God. God told me what the person is doing. And God told me, this thing has opened the gate of death. And God said, the people around her will go, they go. And your church members too, go, they go. Yeah. Yeah. It's scattered my theology. But you see, let me tell you, that's not the message. Forget all this one. We have mature pastor. Let me tell you the message. The message was that God said, I'm not angry. I said, God said. I can't be repeating God said if I'm lying. I'll say it twice. I know I'm lying and not say it again. God said that I'm not angry. I just need her to acknowledge, tell you about it, and take away the curse. God said, take away the curse. And that was the time I came, I knocked on the door. I said, let's pray. I didn't give you all the details because if I give you all the details, fear will latch on. And if God, if the thing does not keep, fear will keep. There are three levels of prophecy. You receive a prophecy, interpret a prophecy, and deliver a prophecy. It's maturity. The only one God will do is give you a prophecy. The remaining two is you. He can't give you prophecy again and help you interpret it again and also help you deliver it again. What? Why are you now there? Why are you a co-laborer with Christ Jesus? It's in the Old Testament that the Spirit will come upon you, will not be doing like a robot. In the New Testament, whatever you want to do with the prophecy is in your hand. Yeah. If you like, destroy your church, lose your church because of prophecy. And that's why when you go and preach in the church, you should ask the pastor, can I prophesy? The pastor should have trusted your prophetic ministry before you open your mouth. And because after prophesying, it's the pastor that will come and meet and say, that word. Yeah. And that's why if I've not invited somebody as a prophet, and I didn't tell you person is a prophet, be careful how you receive the word. You understand? There is protocol in prophetic ministry. We might look at it this year. But you know, God said, just take away. Because I'm not angry. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. See, all the other drama, it does not concern God. If you don't, if you do drama, what? Repent. Repent. If you like, go to this. Have you repent? Have you repented? Repent. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
So you take responsibility. You see, God does not forgive the sin that somebody caused you to commit. That is somebody that caused you. Go and meet the person that caused you to commit it. You have to take what? Responsibility. You can't transfer blame. The man of God says, the girl that made me fall. There was no girl that made you to,
yes, sir,
to fall. You can't blame any girl. And you can't blame temptation.
Yes, sir.
Temptation came to ask you a question.
Mm.
All temptation comes to do is ask you a question. Say, do you feel like? You now have to tell the angel, before you came, say, Ave. No. Temptation is not the cause of sin. Temptation is not the cause of sin. I'm telling you the truth. It took me a while to know too. I thought it was temptation that made you sin. I'm telling you, it's not temptation that made you sin. You and the sin have been together for a while. As your the sin has been your pally. Temptation just came and said, Alpha now. Alpha. Alpha now. Say, are they reason the thing? You know? Why can't they do yourself? Why the reason? We'll go now. Say, well, we'll go now. Once man they die. We'll so you were not overwhelmed. You overwhelm yourself. Are you together with me? See, the person talking to you is a born again sinner. So I understand the mystery of sin. I'm somebody who God has delivered from sin, both the sin before salvation and sin after salvation. You know, many pastors do as if they did not sin after. So, all their stories before they got saved, as if after they got saved, nothing happened. See. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. God says, not me. First, don't call me. God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. Because I'm not the one that tempts you. Say, God was trying to check whether I'm loyal. God said, I'm not trying to check anything. It's not me. God say it's not me. I'm not trying to check your loyalty. I'm not doing anything. It's not me. But each one is tempted. How? When he is drawn away. By what? Whose desire? Whose own? It's your own. So the desire has been with you. Hey? Desire has been with who? You and desire like this is like coats for you. Desire.
Young desire. Now, even though you are afraid of Maradiko Vera. Young desire. Together. You don't do as if desire came from outside. Which outside? The temptation traced the desire and found out that you are the address. Which guy is it? In your brukunye. You said they made you fall. You! They made you fall, criminal like you! You where you are, about falling since. You go where you will fall. Oh my God! Are you with me, friends? So, when you want to repent, how do you repent? Father, I have followed my desire. Nobody. It's you.
Yes.
Can you tell somebody it's you?
It's you.
It's you. If you beat your wife, beating has been. You are a wife beater. It's you. It's you. And if you are not submissive, you are not a submissive person. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So you acknowledge, and then what do? You take responsibility. I'm talking about the glory, the consequences of glory. The glory, because of the glory you carry, you take responsibility of your actions. Praise God. And then when you take responsibility, can I talk to you?
Yes, sir.
You know, the Bible has told us in the book of 1 John, this is going to bring deliverance to you. Very beautiful. In the book of 1 John, talking about our advocate, I think it's chapter 1, have you? Let me show you something in that 1 John. It says, where's my Bible? Quickly, give us 1 John. My little children, this is I write to you, okay, verse 2, chapter 2. So that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, amen. So we've said that all our sins is our fault.
Yeah.
Friends, you will never get, you will never repent, you will never receive forgiveness, you will never receive the kingdom if you are not here.
Yeah.
Are you together with me?
Yes,
are we here?
Yes, sir.
This is a right to you so that you may not sin. But and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Can I teach you this morning?
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ, the righteous. All right. And he himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but for all, but also for what? The whole world. What does that mean? It means that he can forgive the sin of the believer, and then he also forgives the sin of the unsaved. That is the sin, the original sin. So the unsaved person can be saved because of this Jesus. And the saved person can be forgiven because of this Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, by this we know him. If we keep his commandment, he says, I know him. I don't understand again. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment is a liar. Where is he if we say we don't have sin? All right, let's read that also. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Are you together with me? And the truth is not what? In us. So, how is the truth in you? Acknowledging you have sin. But you know, sometimes we want to prove that the truth is in us by not acknowledging our sin. That's the pride that I was talking about. You get the point now? You want to say, no, is the woman you gave me. Are you together with me? You want to pass the buck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the deception is only on you.
Yeah.
And the truth is not in us. Now, if we would confess our sins, the word confess is not necessarily to go and announce to the public. It's to agree. Are you together with me? Our sins. Bible says he's what? He's faithful and what? And just to forgive us. So you can, are you together with me? Now, not just that he's able to forgive. He's faithful to forgive. So, forgiveness hinges on God's faithfulness and justice. I'm not getting my point. Forgiveness is hinged on what? God's faithfulness and what? And justice. So you are lying on God when you are living in condemnation. Because condemnation is the effect of a sin you think is still retained. And you have said God is not faithful and God is not just. You see? So there is pride in condemnation. You see? Because you uphold yourself above his nature.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So there is no spirituality in condemnation. Neither is there spirituality in guilt. Those places are championed by demons. Can I preach here?
Yes.
So demons are the ones championing condemnation. But you see, it feels good because there is a fake righteousness. Listen, the reason why you feel condemned and you are staying in guilt, it's not necessarily because you are repenting. There is no repentance in condemnation at all. And there is no repentance in guilt. Can I preach here? It is carnality. It is self. Powered by demons. I know what I'm talking about. Powered by demons. And you feel that you are righteous. Even though you don't tell yourself that. You want to feel very sorry so that God can know that you are really feeling bad about this. But you see, the Bible talks about godly sorrow. If sorrow can be qualified, then there must be a sorrow that is not godly.
Yes.
And it says, it's the godly one that brings repentance.
Yes.
The other ones do not. And a lot of you are living under that one that doesn't bring repentance. You are just saying, no, I can't. I'm not going to do again. I'm not going to do again. I cannot. You sin. They forgive you. You are still saying, no, you won't receive forgiveness. You are a bad person.
Wow.
Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
And you see, the flow of grace stops when you continue in condemnation and guilt.
Yes, sir.
And don't forget, that is accommodating devils. Never forget. You see, because sometimes we see these things as English words. They are devils.
Yes, sir.
They stop you.
Yes, sir.
It's not just they are devils. They are real demons. Ask me what's the name. Condemnation is a demon. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So when you check inside Christ, you won't see condemnation.
Yeah.
So where is condemnation? There is condemnation, but it's not in Christ. So where is it? It's with Satan. So it is one of Satan's boys. Jesus Christ has denounced. Is that condemnation? It's not one of my boys. If it's not Jesus' boy, Satan's boy. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
And so you must treat condemnation as an enemy.
Yes.
And don't be casual with it.
Yes.
And refuse it.
Yes.
And say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God is faithful and just. And he has forgiven me.
Yes.
Are you together with me?
Yes.
Can somebody shout, I'm forgiven?
I'm forgiven!
Now, forgiveness is what God owes you. Are you with me?
Yes.
How does he owe you? He owes you because he's the gift he has promised you one. But he owes you because he is faithful and just. So, if God doesn't forgive you, he denies himself.
Mm.
Now, if God doesn't want you to know it, he won't write it.
Yes.
Because some of you say, I wouldn't like to take God for granted. See, they wrote it. God, why did he write it? Why did the apostle write it? Apostle wrote it because he wants you to know. So that when you sin, you need to know. Am I preaching here?
Yes.
Pastor Zach, if they know, they will be sinning. It's possible. But if God was willing to take that risk, why won't I preach? Am I the one that's... It's possible. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He wrote it there. Pastor, if they know, they will continue to sin. If they continue to sin, they will go to hell.
Yes.
Now, let me explain to you. What I mean by when you continue, you go to hell, is not a means to get you scared. I'm not balancing my message. I'm still preaching the same word. Yeah. You can lose. You see, this the conversation around you can't lose your salvation is a strange conversation. Salvation. Now, we got it because we lost it in the first place.
Yes, sir.
The reason why he came was because we lost it.
Yeah.
Have we not lost it before?
Yeah.
We lost it before. We can lose it again. Yeah. Jesus came because we... Listen, if Adam did not fall, Jesus would not come.
Yeah.
And the plan for eternal life and maturity will go on like that.
Yeah.
Will be on. But we lost it. That's why Jesus came. And he's not coming again to give it again. So you can lose it again. How do you lose it again? You decide to lose it. You choose. If you choose sin long enough, you will lose the life of God in your spirit. Can I talk to you? The sin of Adam is not mango or apple. It's the choice. He chose Satan. So when you commit sin, you haven't chosen Satan. But when you decide that you want to be living in sin, you have chosen Satan. After a while, you are not saved again.
Yes.
So when you sin, you haven't lost your salvation. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
But when you tell yourself, this is the life I want to be living now, you have lost your salvation. And see, you can.
Yeah.
Somebody is really saved, cannot. I say, you can. We say, which cannot? We can. See, as a man of God, I can decide that I want to be a bad person. I want to be sleeping with women. I can.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, it says, if he's truly saved, he cannot. Who told you? If he's truly saved, he cannot what? If I'm truly saved, I can choose sin. And I'm truly saved. It's a choice. Don't joke with the choice God gave man. We are beings that have choices. Listen, I can choose to be adding Yahoo Yahoo to what I'm doing. See, if pastors can go to shrine to collect jars, what are you telling me? A born again pastor can go to shrine and tell, and they have, and there are several who have, and I know some. You will go to Ghana, they wash your eyes. And you see things. Now, I'm talking of people who... Somebody who has a fantastic prayer life, who was a prayer warrior, who was strong, decided to go to India. And they would give you stuff. You begin to see visions. Yeah. So you can. And I need to tell you, you can. You need to know that you have the power to destroy this thing. So that you can decide not to. Are we together, friends?
Yes,
so, the glory of God, the consequence of that glory is that you take responsibility of your sin. You acknowledge your sin. You take responsibility of it. Let me tell you, I don't usually preach like this on Sundays, but Jesus has told me to start preaching like this. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said I should not be concerned whether there are newcomers, or he said I should be preaching my heart, even whether first service, whether second service, whether third service.
Thank you,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, all this, it don't matter what you are going through. It's once in a while. Let me tell you what the Lord told me. The Lord says that, I don't want you to grow numbers. He says, I want you to pour your spirit. He said, grow your spirit, don't grow numbers. Yeah. He said, don't grow numbers. He said, I don't want you to have numbers. He said, I don't want you to grow numbers. That not be the mindset. So don't shut down what I put to you because you don't want some people. You want some people to stay. Not that I'll be preaching bad. There are still good messages. But it won't be what the original thing he gave me. So he said, multiply the original thing I gave you. He said, because that's what I want to build. And that is what I'm going to release to the earth. So he said, start preaching those things now. Yeah, even in your thought service. You get the point now. So now, anytime is fire. Any. So, I've lost my fear of whether some people understand, whether it's too deep. I've not. That I'll preach it in, on Saturday or Sunday first. I've no. No, 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 no. No, you can't control me. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
So you take responsibility of your sin. And that's all it is. You and God, right?
Yes, sir.
Say, Father, this is what I did. I'm sorry, Lord. And God says, please, you must know that immediately you take responsibility, know that immediately you acknowledge that it's yours, it's your fault. Acknowledge your fault. Say, know that I forgive you. It's a Bible, it's a doctrine.
Yes.
To know God has forgiven you is a doctrine.
Yes.
It's not a feeling. Now, any other thing aside from these, as per dealing with sin, is not of God.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's the enemy controlling you.
Yes, sir.
The last one about sin is that don't try to pay for it. When you pay for your sin, it's pride. Never try to pay for your sin. It's pride, it's self-righteousness, and it's an affront to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never pay for your sin. Never try and do good so that you can cover the bad that you have done. Don't do that. Don't try and do good so that God can now say, he tried. No. I've told you what repentance is. Acknowledge your sin. Take responsibility. Change your ways. Are you with me?
Yes.
Say, change your ways.
Change your ways.
Those three things. You can't pay for your sin. When you pay for your sin, you are walking in the flesh. And it's an affront to the cross. You think you can save yourself. Are you together with me? Are you together with me?
Yes.
Don't pay for your sin. Some people pay for their sins in two ways. Some people become extremely hard on themselves. What did Judas do? Judas sold Jesus, but he was sure that Jesus will save himself. I've told you that separately. Because when Jesus was eventually crucified, he was shocked. So the plan was, make I sell him, and I go find out, say, they know if he kill him, may I go hold him. That was the plan. And he was watching. They took them to Jesus. They hugged, they saw Jesus, they fell down. He said, I tell you, Jesus. You know, when the soldiers first came, when Jesus Christ said, this is I, all of them fell under the power. He said, I talk, I'm going to kill him. Me, where I get sense like this. Then Jesus died. The man was very sad about it. You see, but you can't pay for your sin. It's that same cross that Jesus is on that can save him. The guy went and go and killed himself. Hell. You can't pay for your sin. It's flesh to pay for your sin. It's carnality. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
He wanted to pay for his sin. He killed himself. Friends, I was Peter's own. What did Peter do? Peter denied him. Jesus already told Peter that you will deny me. And Peter told Jesus, it can never happen. With all that preparation. Are you together with me? With all that, they told him this night, though, before the cock crow. Today, they gave him the time, everything. Now, how can you fall into that kind of sin? If you are not a bad person. They gave him all the info of how it will happen.
Yeah.
And the guy denied you. And here Jesus' eye jammed like this. Jesus forgave him. And Jesus still left the church in his hands. Can you tell me what he did to repent? Any action? Nothing. In the Bible, right? Nothing. See, Let me say one last one about repentance. I will move. Come. See here. Let me tell you something. I want to make a statement with these two people, but let me first make a statement. In one of those nights, I was lying down. I was about waking up that the Lord spoke to my ears. He said, Zach, he said, Satan can enter into anybody. Stay close to me. Now, I'll say that. Let me make another statement. You see, if this is a human being, no. Now, give me that scripture you gave me about, is it John chapter 2? 1 John chapter 2. Quickly, let me show you something. Now, my little children, these things I say to you so that you may know, you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, you see, with all Peter did, Jesus forgave him and made him a leader in the house, right?
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you know that you can easily receive forgiveness from God than from men?
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, sure.
And this God is the righteous. The men who are co-sinners. So you see, your inability to forgive the sins of others is a testament to how far you are from godliness. You can see now. Conviction, repentance, power. When you have the glory, power will flow in your life. See, this is, I'm running off here. See, from today, if you're a member of this church, you must reject a powerless life. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Your life is going to have meaning. I said your life will make meaning.
Yeah.
The power, you will not lead an ordinary life. Can you say, I will not lead an ordinary life? Never. I reject it for you. Then those that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploit. You see, the word there is do. You fill in the gap. Those that know their God shall be strong and do. The exploit is not there. It's actually do. It's just do. It means that your life just does things. Your life can do. So as a husband, you will do. As a wife, you will do. As a businessman, you will do. As a child, as a girl, as a boy, what will you do? Do. You do. You work in a way that is supernatural. God should carry the glory. See, you are on your own if you want to live the ordinary life. You are... This one is not with you. You are on your own. See, this ministry will bring change to this whole community, this city. It's going to be a center of change for the nations.
Yes.
Why? Because I will do.
Yes.
Are you together with me? I will what? I will do. Then we are not going to have any dot of limitation.
Yes.
We are going to do the impossible. We are, listen, oh my goodness, am I speaking to you here?
Yes.
As a ministry, as a commission, we are going to change this earth.
Yes.
You see, when they go and check, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the world. One of the ministries that will bring that will be a perfect example to that scripture is this church.
Yes.
We are a light to this world and a salt to this earth.
Yes.
Are you together with me?
Yes.
Can someone shout, I will do?
I will
do. The glory will make you do.
Yes.
See, Jesus did a lot.
Yes.
The Bible says if we write the things that he did, the books of the earth cannot contain it. That's who your Savior is.
Yes.
And he said, greater works than this shall you what? Do. Shall do. You shall do. You are delivered from mediocrity.
Yes.
I said, I deliver you from mediocrity.
Yes.
I deliver you from hand to mouth. I deliver you from common useless lives.
Yes.
I deliver you from marrying and having one children and just doing useless things.
Yes.
You are called to greater works.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Can I talk to you? What you will become, your mother will not believe it. What you will become, your father will not believe it. Listen, the greatest person in your family will find out that actually he's not the greatest.
Because you will come into the scene and change the narrative.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, your life is a testimony to the glory of God.
Yes.
I say you shall do.
Yes.
I say you shall do.
Yes.
You shall do wonders.
Yes.
You shall do excellent.
Yes.
You shall do valiantly.
Yes.
I say you shall do.
Yes.
For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
You shall do.
Yes.
You will conquer territories.
Yes.
I said for Jesus you will conquer territories.
Yes.
You will hold serpents and scorpions.
Yes.
And it's not going to hurt you.
Yes.
You will travel around the earth bringing change.
Yes.
To humanity and mankind.
Yes.
Your visions and your dreams will come to pass.
Yes.
And they will be very strong.
Yes.
You will be unstoppable.
Yes.
I said you will be unstoppable.
Yes.
You are not ordinary.
Yes.
You carry the power of God.
Yes.
You carry the glory of God.
Yes.
You carry the grace of God. Your ideas are brighter. Your ideas are brighter. The light of God functions in you. The light of God functions in you. And you manifest divine things. People will know you came from God. That's your story. Come on, stand up and give him praise.